Proverbs chapter 14, let's see here. We'll start in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." I want to talk for just a little bit tonight about three fools. Three different types of fools. And if we look back at verse number 9, it says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Fools make a mock at sin. The first fool I want to talk about is the rejecter. The so-called atheists, the people that they say they don't believe there is a God, which I don't believe that, and I don't believe God believes that either, that they believe that in their heart. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." And that's exactly why they say there's no God, is because they're corrupt and have done abominable works, and they don't want to have to answer, they don't want to have to change, they don't want to submit to authority. And if you look today, today's worse than it's ever have been in the history of mankind, probably since the flood, with this authority problem. Right. Nobody wants an authority.
Yep. Right.
And when they quit spanking their kids, they might as well have just thrown them in the river.
Yep.
It's just a mess. You know, people misquote the Bible. They tend to, everybody's a Bible scholar when they don't believe the book. Amen. They're a Bible scholar. Well, judge not. Why are you telling me something out of a book you don't believe? Joshua and I were talking about this. Why would you use something out of a book you don't believe to argue with me about a book I do believe?
Right.
Judge not, judge not, judge not, judge not. How about he that is spiritual judgeth all things?
Amen.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not what it says. It says he that spareth the rod hateth the child.
Right. Amen.
The opposite of that is if you love your child, you'll spank your child. So what we got is a bunch of people that love themselves so much they don't have time to love their kids. And we've got a world that's on fire now because of it. They're trying to burn this place down because they don't want any authority. But the irony of the whole thing is when they're in trouble, look what they're looking for. The same people that they hate, despise, want to defund, run off, kill, mock and ridicule, are calling them for help. See, that's perverted mindset. But we have the rejectors, these so-called atheists. I was going to preach a message. I thought about naming this message, "Are You Stupid?" I mean, I really did, because one of these days, I might preach it tonight. It might work out that way. But I mean, if you don't believe there's a God, are you stupid?
Yep, amen.
Can you look at a newborn baby, hear that first cry come out of its breath? Can you look at even a puppy?
Amen.
Can you look at a seed that starts to sprout? Can you look at a plant that starts to produce fruit, a tree with apples, a tree with oranges, whatever? Can you look up in the stars of the sky and actually believe there is no God? Are you stupid?
Amen.
I'd say yes.
Amen.
I like that. I think I'm going to have fun tonight.
But
you have to be stupid to believe what they believe, willfully ignorant.
Amen.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Honestly, if you don't believe that, I do believe you're stupid. We've got the rejectors, the so-called atheists. They reject God. They don't want anything to do with God. And one of these days, they're going to draw their last breath. Somebody's going to carry them to a hole in the ground, stick them in there, cover them with dirt, and they're going to be in heaven or hell, and then they're going to know there's a God.
Amen.
Then they're going to admit it.
Yep.
But they know it. They know it already. They're just playing games.
Yep.
You got the rejectors. Look at verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. You got the correctors. I call that the correctors, the religious crowd. They want to correct the truth. Well, they say they believe in God and they believe the Bible, but they reject what the Bible says. They want to go about to establish their own righteousness instead of accepting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way you get into heaven is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way you get to Jesus Christ is by realizing that you're a sinner on your way to hell, that your blood couldn't pay the price. His blood paid the price. You are without hope, without help, and you're without excuse unless you trust Jesus Christ, and then you're in heaven. You're in there already.
Amen.
At the right hand of God in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The correctors. And you know, it's funny because they're nothing but dogs. They think they're something special. They'll look at you and say, well, you believe that it's just that simple, easy believism. It's hard for me to believe that he would save me, but it's easy for me to believe he did save me. Amen? But there, you know, all my righteousnesses are filthy rags.
Amen.
There's an S on that. All my righteousness says, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
These people are dogs. They're mangy dogs, and they think they're going to earn their way to heaven. Are you stupid? Oh, I like that title. I might change the title. But to think that you could do something better than what God did on Calvary,
Amen.
Or something to add to what God did on Calvary, are you stupid?
Amen.
That's foolish. The second type of fool is the corrector. These dogs. Reminds me of, you know, I don't know, my mind gets kind of goofy sometimes, but I remember a preacher telling a story about this dog. If y'all heard this, just kind of hang on, because I like this story. But he was a young preacher. He didn't have much money. He had a family, little kids, and he wanted to get a dog, but he couldn't afford to get a dog, and somebody gave him this puppy. Well, this puppy, come to find out, this puppy had mange. Well, they couldn't afford to take it to the vet, so this puppy lost all its hair. Got sores on it. It's out there in the yard scratching, rolling around in the dirt. And this guy's out there cutting his grass one day. And he's driving around. He's looking at that dog, and he's thinking, man, this is terrible. Terrible. He said, I got an idea. I don't have to take that dog to the vet. Gasoline will kill anything. So he takes a rag, soaks it with gasoline, and he wipes it all over that dog. And that dog was just laying around doing nothing. That dog jumps up, runs around the yard 3 or 4 times, and just falls over. He wasn't dead. He was just out of gas. Anyway. So we're dogs. Mangy dogs. There's nothing we could do to earn favor with God.
Right.
The only way you're going to get favor with God is trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. The rejectors, the correctors. Look at verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. From himself. That's good stuff right there. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. We've looked at the rejector. We've looked at the correctors. Now let's look at the defectors. The folks that are blood-bought, born again, that are backslidden. And you know, I think 2/3 of people are backslidden. You wouldn't even tell it. You wouldn't even, by looking at them, you couldn't tell it. I think half of them probably don't even know it. There's some ways to know it. We'll talk about that for just a few minutes. If the joy of reading your Bible is gone, remember when you first got saved and you found out this is a book from God and you wanted to see what he had in it? If that joy is gone, if your prayer life's dwindling away, there's no joy getting a hold of God the Father, that you can actually pray to the Creator, if that joy is gone, if the joy of being in church, now look, don't blame it on the preacher. Maybe it could be. But if any of the other boxes are checked too, it's probably not the preacher's fault. Amen. So if the joy of being in church isn't there, the joy of reading your Bible isn't there, the joy of singing hymnal songs, the joy of fellowshipping with the saints is not there, you've lost the joy of the Lord. Because you're backslidden. You see, backsliding is kind of like mountain climbing. You're climbing up this mountain, you almost get to the top, and next thing you know, you slid back down. I think a lot of Christians spend a lot of time not just backslidden, but backsettled. They get to a certain part down that hill, and they just settle there. And they're not really interested in going back up the hill. They're just happy with a great gulf fixed between them and their Savior. They're just happy. They're just satisfied. They're just content going through the motions, doing what's tradition. They become religious. Content. Some folks get content in their sin. They just don't want to get right. You know, here you're on Wednesday night going, hey, I'm here on Wednesday night. Well, a lot of people show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every service, and you can sit in a church pew and still be backslidden. You know how I know? I've done it. Everybody in here's done it. If you've been in church over 15 times, you've done it. Amen? Nobody wants to stay on that list, though. Really. I mean, some people get comfortable there, get satisfied with just being in that spot. But there's a thing, you know, I mean, if you think about what you're doing, if you're backslidden because of a sin that you won't let go of, you've just traded fellowship with the Creator for foolishness. It's true. It's foolishness. If you're backslidden into sin, you've decided to leave the Lord for the lust of the flesh. That's foolish. I mean, we talked about, you know, the rejectors and the correctors, and, you know, are you stupid? That was funny then. But they're fools. And to stay backslid from God's foolish. Isn't it funny how the devil works? I mean, honestly, y'all know how he works. He's been working you over too every once in a while. But this is the funny thing about sin, is the devil will offer you up some sin, and he's a deceiver, liar, and a father of it, and he'll say, that's not that bad. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. You can get away with that. Other people are doing it. Not a problem. It's just a little sin. You've done it before and got away with it. Amen. And then after you've done it, then he says, oh, that is horrible. That was the most wicked. You are the most disgusting human being. God is so through with you. I think that's why some people stay backslidden. Because the devil has got them driven in the dirt where they're backslidden, believing that God just wants to kill them and leave them there. And the truth is, he'll redeem you and put you right back on track. You know how I know that? Because I've seen him do it over and over and over again. I've also seen people come to the point where he's done with them and takes them home. But if he's not taking you home, why don't you just get right with God? Amen? Just get right with God. You know, if your view is so skewed of the world that everybody else is wrong and there's nothing you can do that's wrong, don't shake your head, don't raise your hand. I know you're doing it in your heart, because we all have. Get to a point as born-again believers where we think that, you know, everybody else, you got this bitterness where everybody else's problems are so evident, and yours just kind of disappear. It's because you're backslidden. Amen. If you weren't backslidden, you'd see the things the way Jesus Christ sees things. Amen. But the further you get away from him, the further you get away from seeing things his way. Three men in the Bible that really messed up were King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. Saul was prudent. He was cautious and wise in the beginning. Then he got proud. Then he got passed over. You ever wonder what you might have got passed over on? I wonder. I think we're going to find out the judgment seat of Christ. King Saul didn't end well. David, he was lazy. Remember the time the kings go out to war, he's at home? He got lazy. He got lustful. And then he was lamenting the consequences of his sin. Amen. Consequences of his sin. Speaking of his consequences of his sin, we get to King Solomon. He was wise. I mean, wise. Wiser than any man but Jesus Christ. Wiser than any king, become wicked, and he wasted what God had given him. What a mess. You know, out of those three men, looking at those lives, Only one of them got it right?
Yep.
As bad as David messed up, God was able to look down and say, that's a man after my heart, because he got right. And he meant it when he got right. Saul didn't get right. He could have got right, but he didn't. Refused to. King Saul. King Solomon, read Ecclesiastes. He'll tell you how he wasted his life. Everything's vanity and vexation of spirit. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Because he didn't fear God and keep his commandments. He was wise, but then he got wise in his own conceit. He got wise in his own pride. He got so goofed up about Solomon and what Solomon wanted, what Solomon deserved. That's where we get off the road anyway. We start thinking about us as higher than our Savior. And what about what he deserves? Well, sin's pleasurable for a season. You don't understand. Oh, yes, I do, because I have flesh. I understand that sin's pleasurable for a season, but for a season is the important part of that. And you know what sin always brings forth? Death. Death. It'll bring forth spiritual death. I'm backslid. I'm happy. I'm just going to live here. Sooner or later, you're going to die spiritually, and you're going to rot right where you're sitting. If you don't get right with God. I don't know who's right and who's not. But I know one thing. God wants everybody right. He wants his children back. Maybe it's time to get back. Maybe you've been in church, but you just haven't really been in church. Maybe you've been in the Bible, but you haven't really been in the Bible. Maybe you've been in prayer, but you haven't really been in prayer. Maybe you've been in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, but since you're out of God's will, you're not really in fellowship with Christ. Maybe it's time to return to the Father. Amen? Return to the Father. Return to this faithful book. Return to fellowship with the saints by returning with fellowship with Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, I get a kick out. Every time I say when I was a kid, I remember my kids going, did they have paper when you were a kid? No, they didn't invent trees yet. No. God was still making, he was still separating the firmament. Yeah. But when I was a kid, we had a wood-burning stove. And I'd go out in the winter. Man, I'd have fun. I'd go out and play in the snow and the ice and all that stuff. And build some ugly igloos and some really messed up snowmen. Have snowball fights and stuff. I'd stay out there until I was about frozen. After a while, it'd get so cold, I finally decided it's time to go back in. I'd go in there and sit by that stove and take my shoes and socks and socks and socks. And so, because once your feet get cold, it's over. So you got like every sock in the house on because you don't want to come back ever because you're a kid. Finally, you get cold, you go back in and get back in by that stove, take them shoes and socks off, and sit there and warm up. That's what happens to a Christian when they get backslid, they get cold. Maybe it's time to return to the truth. So God will rekindle that fire in your heart tonight. Amen. The funny thing, even as a kid, physically, I had more common sense than some Christians do, than sometimes I do. Because once I got in there next to that stove and got warmed up, the last thing I wanted to do was go back outside. Don't you wish you were that way with sin? Saul wishes he was that way. Solomon wishes he was that way. David's glad he was that way. Amen. Three fools. And I did have a little bit of fun with that. Are you stupid? But if you think about it, the rejectors and the correctors, the most foolish are the defectors. I mean, you got the truth. You're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And for you to reject the walk with him he wants you to have, that's foolish. That's foolish. It'll be good tonight on a Wednesday night. Everybody heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. It'd be good on Wednesday night. Just say, Lord? Ain't none of us perfect. We know that. But you know specifically where you're at. Lord, I don't have to wait till Sunday to get right. Right now. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to draw you in close. Rekindle that fire in your heart. Put you back on track for Jesus Christ. Renew that fellowship. The joy birds will be singing in your heart again. It's terrible being away from the joy of Christ. It's a few minutes of prayer. Just get right. Yeah, we're not in a hurry. Just talk to God for a few minutes. Lord, help us. Lord, I know this is your church. And I know that the folks here love you and want to do right by you. But I also know our old nature will get us backslidden and backsettled. And Lord, we just don't want to be the average church. We want to be your church all the way. Lord, we don't have time to play games, and you're worthy of us to be serious. Lord, help us to get things right with you and get on track with you. Rekindle that fire in our heart. Here we look at that. Revelation chapter 3 was talking about the church leaving their first love, and it wasn't a group of people, it was individuals that left the first love. Lord, help us not be those individuals. We love you. And honestly, we don't even know how to love you right. But help us. Help us to not be foolish and waste what you've given us. Breathe on us as individuals, Lord. Draw us close to you. Please don't turn from us. Convict our hearts when we're out of, we even think about getting out of your will. Lord, the thought of having our conscience seared and our heart hardened and being ending out of your will, Lord, is a tragic, terrible thought. Help us to take our walk as saved people, Christian people, serious. Not because of anybody but you, Lord, because it's all you. And Lord, we know that you're a loving and merciful and gracious God and you're long-suffering. But Lord, we don't want to take advantage of that. We want to take advantage of the fact that we can come back. But we want to stay back. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. And Lord, out of these three fools, help us not be on that list. In Jesus' name, amen.